if anybody tells you that something isn't a race, it means that they're losing.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 73. Is that right, Adam? 73?
I think it's 75.
I got to check now because I actually don't know if it's episode 73 or not.
Well, go to the Two Hosers webpage and check.
That sounds like shameless marketing, but that's actually what I'm doing.
So it is shameless marketing. I also used the shameless marketing voice when I said that.
Did you? That's the voice?
Oh, and I should mention before we go on any further, and I hope this isn't catching you off guard, but I went on your blog. I'm going to do some marketing for your blog. I can't remember. What's your actual blog?
The Alan Attridge WordPress blog?
Yeah. So I went on your blog, and I saw you've got ads, like you've sold out.
Do you see it online or on mobile?
I don't know. Online.
Because I've not... Oh, really? Because I know they put them on mobile. No, I have not sold out. They're an automatic ad that comes on. It's nothing to do with me. I don't get any money, nothing.
Oh, I fully thought you sold out. Some brain ads or something. Make yourself smarter.
Oh, that's ironic that it comes up on mine.
if you're reading this, you're not very smart. Basically, that's what it's saying.
No, I think I have to go in and deactivate that or pay something to deactivate it. I'm not sure. It's been brought up to me before. And trust me, it's nothing to do with me. I did not put ads. I wish I could get paid on that, but it's not going to happen.
So they're allowed to do that?
Yeah, part of the service. I think I don't pay enough or anything. Or I forget what I pay for now.
I see.
Many things going on.
Okay.
So yes, I looked. It is episode 73. So welcome. I am Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me, the voice you hear on the other end is
Adam. That's Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, the one berating Alan for selling out.
Yeah, not a sellout. The worst than, not only did I sell out, I'm not even getting paid. Worst kind of sellout.
So I thought you were a sellout, and yet you're not actually a sellout.
No, so morally, I'm still good. Financially, not as.
Okay.
Yeah. Not all how right. to do it. I like to buy high and sell low.
Right.
Like Facebook.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just like Facebook.
I just thought of that in my head, and I had to rush it out before you stepped on the punchline.
I was trying to step on it, but you were too quick.
We got a listener email from Scotland, a guy named Robert.
That sounds Scottish.
It does, and I was wondering if he didn't leave his last name, and I assume it's the something.
Of somewhere.
Roger. Yeah, exactly. Got to be of. So Roger, I think, not Roger, Robert the Tall from Glasgow
right,
emailed, and he basically explained, remember last week and we were talking about those sort of pulse effect on the long exposures with some of the lights?
Right, yep.
Apparently, some of the lights, the newer headlights and side running lights and all that are LEDs and not regular incandescent bulbs.
Okay.
And the LED creates a small pulse, like it actually runs on a pulse, and therefore it will create that effect.
Neat.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And so that explains that.
Okay.
Quick note, we had a few emails about our bid to become part of the Ace Broadcasting Network. So first of all, I want to thank everybody for the tweets and the retweets. I've seen it sort of popping up. And other people are retweeting retweets. I don't know how many layers of the onion we're getting to, but it's starting to happen. So Adam and I appreciate that very much.
Definitely appreciate it.
Thanks for that. We have a bunch of listener questions, and one in particular, Joshua from, I think he's from Wisconsin, wanted to know why we wanted to join The Man, which I guess is super flattering to Adam Carolla, if he's now considered the man.
Right.
Because he wasn't. He still is a pirate ship. He's not part of the whole network thing, even though he calls it the ACE network. The fact that he is the man means he's successful and doing well at what he's doing. So that is good.
Okay.
Plus, I should mention that when Joshua phrased his email, it was actually very good. It was very well done. It wasn't snarky or he wasn't being a jerk, essentially.
What about spelling errors?
Nope. Nailed it.
Okay.
But I, in answering his question why he wanted to join that, I basically said that I see a difference between commerce and corporate. And if it's a big corporation, you're likely not to get anything really creative and good out of a corporation.
Okay.
Too many people have to get involved.
You've just alienated a lot of our corporate audience.
Yeah. No, they know that. I'm sure that corporations know that you can't do anything creative by committee.
Okay. I still love you, corporate people.
Yeah. Okay, great. No, they don't mind advertising. But it's not like Picasso had like 12 guys at Nestle helping him paint, right?
Okay, Nestle or Nestle?
I think when in Europe they call it Nestle.
Okay,
it's French.
Okay,
yeah, and so he's from Spain, and that's right next door to France. Yeah, I don't know. Pretty sure it's Nestle over there.
Okay,
so. Anyway, Joshua from Wisconsin, if you know if it's Nestle or Nestle, let us know.
Right.
We'd be interested to know. But yeah, so the problem, the situation with the whole corporate network thing is that there's so many people to run things past that stuff becomes unfunny, unentertaining, undramatic, whatever it is. It becomes watered down. Because everybody who gets involved... The more people you have involved, the more people that have to justify their involvement.
It sounds like you're on a rant.
I'll try to dial it in so we can learn all about bags.
Okay.
But that's what ends up happening is I've dealt with this many times where it's on a committee of five people and there's two people who just don't know anything about anything. But if they admit that and just say, hey, you know what? You guys are experts. You handle it. Then all of a sudden they lose their job. Because what do we need them for? And so they end up getting involved, and the product becomes much worse. But if you get a guy like Adam Carolla, who is basically the filter, he is the guy who makes the decisions by himself. Now you may not like his show, you may not find him funny, you may not. That's entirely up to you. But it's not going through 12 people who aren't funny,
right?
Till it gets to you. And the good news is all those people who aren't funny and just are watering it down no longer need to be paid.
That's a good thing.
That's a great thing. Because now the product gets the consumer much faster and is either free or much, much cheaper. So that's a good thing. This whole meritocracy idea of the internet is fantastic. For all the craziness you see on YouTube, like the million videos a day or whatever they upload, it's actually great because if something's good, it will be seen. If it's not, it will likely just die.
Or if it's a cat playing poker, it'll go viral.
Well, that's a good point as well. So Joshua's also concerned that we would sell out and start shooting Leicas and then be snobs.
Right.
That's highly likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're kind of a snob.
I'm a snob about everything.
Mm-hmm. So you mask it well. So all I think our listeners are asking is continue masking your snobbery as you've been doing.
Okay.
So there. I'm gonna skip the whole analogy about the movie industry. We'll save that for next time.
Can't wait. Cliffhanger.
Oh my, write it in your calendar. Dear Diary. Only 7 more sleeps. Yeah, that's awesome.
All
but
right.
the main thing is that
oh, there's more. Wait, there's more.
Word of mouth is the best marketing that there is.
Really?
In life, isn't there?
I'm just giving you a hard time. Absolutely, word of mouth.
And so this is a mass word of mouth. That's what that is. So please continue to keep up the good work and email Adam Carolla. The tweets and all that, it's really helping. So we much appreciate it.
Okay.
What did you shoot, Adam, this week?
I shot some
And try to make it short, because I kind of blew all of our time on that rant.
Okay, well, I shot some pictures at the zoo. Went with my family to the Seattle Woodland Zoo this past weekend and took some pictures. Wanted to take a few pictures of, you know, candid shots of the family and the kids as they're looking at whatever, and wanted to experiment a little bit more with the 70 to 200 lens that I got. So it took a few pictures of some of the animals. But my question to you is, if you go to the zoo, right, mm-hmm. and you take some pictures of the monkeys and the lions and whatnot, what do you do with those pictures?
That's a good point.
Maybe that was a rhetorical question. I know what you do. You don't do anything with those pictures. But mm-hmm. but my question is, does anybody, like, I saw some ridiculous lenses people are walking around with, just like, you know, they're probably shooting for the NFL before they showed up at the Seattle Zoo. and in all honesty, I thought, it's not like if I take a picture of that lion, and no matter how good that picture of that lion is, if I put that on my wall and someone's like, oh wow, that's a nice picture, oh yeah, I shot that at the zoo. It's, you know, it's not like you went on an African lion safari. You shot it at the zoo. So I was kind of torn, because I didn't want to be that guy. I didn't want to be people looking at me being that guy. Like, what the hell is he going to do with that? Right. But at the same time, I was kind of just experimenting with the lens just to see kind of the quality of the images. Not so much worried about what I was going to do with the picture of the lion. You know what I mean?
Did you? Yeah, I shot that at the zoo. You know, I just hear the disappointment in your voice.
Oh, it's a caged animal.
I don't know that. Well, I mean, in some degree, I think some of the safaris in Africa are sort of like game farms themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
I believe they do run free and somewhat. So I guess it is different. Yeah, but I've thought the exact same thing, because it's not like you're photographing that lion on his best day.
Oh yeah, and it's not like you're parked in the bush, you know, and trying to like get a shot and not get eaten. You know, you're standing there behind a fence, and that thing is sleeping. You know? Yeah.
Hey, honey, throw some rocks at the lion. Make him do something. Hey, give him part of your pretzel.
Yeah. So anyway, so I took some pictures of the zoo, but my favorite pictures were not really of the animals. It was the sort of capturing the candid moments of, you know, my wife, my daughter, my son kind of looking out at the animals, where you don't know exactly what they're looking at, but their look of surprise or excitement is kind of, you know, transparent.
As your daughter asked, you know, like, why these animals are in the zoo?
No. They just like appreciating the animals for what they are.
Huh. You have to tell her eventually that, well, some of them committed petty crimes. That one robbed a 7-Eleven. And so, yeah, well, we just randomly scooped them up. Wouldn't they rather be out playing with their friends? Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants a balloon animal? Yeah.
So what did you shoot?
My daughter has a birthday coming up.
Oh yeah, the big one.
The big one. Which, she still looks good for her age, though. She looks young.
Yeah, she does.
So we have to send out a birthday invite.
Of course you do.
Yeah. So I shot some pictures of her for that. White background, of course.
Okay.
Went for that. I just wanted to sneak that in. We met some. We have some new friends from Texas, of all places.
Okay.
That my wife met at the pool. And
great place for meeting friends.
It is. They have a big outdoor pool here and big grass area, and they have kids. They were over maybe yesterday, the day before. I don't know. I'm not writing it down.
Right.
So we shot a bunch of pictures of them. They have twin daughters, and so they're running around and outside, and shot some of that.
Great.
Then I shot and processed my own film.
Wow.
Did it.
Which this sounds, is this new for you?
It's a redo. I haven't done it in a long time. And so Chris Marquardt was running one of his workshops in town. Like he runs digital workshops all over the world, but in Germany, some of the ones he runs are film only.
Okay.
So he calls it Absolute Analog. And basically, I wanted to kind of refresh my memory and on how to process film, because it's been a while since I'd done it myself.
Now, my question to you is, did he charge you to take the workshop?
Yeah, of course.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, I thought maybe you have some kind of in there since you, you know, happen to drop his name 6 or 7 times every episode.
This is not, no, that I should reiterate that this is not a paid endorsement. This is, I took the class.
Wow.
And I honestly feel like I'm ripping him off.
Did you get a discount?
Okay, I prefer not to talk about finances. Okay, because we'll get into your mortgage payment at the end of the show. But I feel like I ripped him off, honestly. And this is kind of an endorsement, but he didn't ask. I wanted to just kind of go over the basics. Unfortunately, it wasn't a basic class. It was advanced film class where we do all kinds of things like pushing film, pulling film, which is underexposing and overprocessing, or the opposite.
Okay.
For different effect. That's a whole different show. We won't talk about it, get into it that today. But anyway, the point was we did a lot of fun stuff. We shot some 400 ISO film at night, like in the complete dark, and use some tricks to try to make it work.
Okay.
And it was awesome. Now, he doesn't do film workshops internationally. I think he should. I'm trying to convince him to do them. Maybe it's flying with chemicals. I don't know what the problem is. Maybe that's it. Transport could be.
Okay.
But if you're thinking of taking a class, I would take a film workshop. You will become a much better digital photographer just by learning to shoot and process your own film. So.
Okay.
But while we were doing that, this is the story that's going to derail the whole show.
Can't wait. Love that part.
Completely photography related. We're out shooting one night. One of the sections of the class was we're gonna shoot 400 film at night. We're gonna call it 6400 ISO, and that's that. So we're out shooting, and I'm standing in Tubingen, a big group of us, and it's a nice summer evening, so there's plenty of people out there, and I have a 50 millimeter lens on my full frame camera because it's a film camera, and I snap a photo, no flash or anything. Just a wide, like across the street, there's a store, like a stand that sells, I don't know what you call them, we call them in Canada, but like a donor stand.
Okay, is this important to the story?
Not really.
Okay.
So maybe it is. But anyway, so I snap a huge wide picture and I'm ready to move on. All of a sudden, this girl comes running up to me, and which PS happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
You know. Hey, aren't you Brad Pitt? No, I'm not. I end up signing autographs anyway. It just makes them happy.
And she was a bikini model.
Yeah. She wasn't wearing a bikini at the time, though, but I'd seen her from before.
Right.
And so anyways, what's her name? Her name is Brooklyn Decker or something like that. I forget. Whatever. She gave me her number.
Right.
So she says, hey, you're taking pictures. Like, she started in German and then quickly realized that I didn't feel like speaking German to her because I didn't know what was going on. And then so she spoke English and said, what are you doing? I said, oh, what do you mean? Well, you just took a picture. I said, yep. Yeah, what? And she's like, well, I find it weird that, you know, like, what are you using it for? And I was like, I don't really understand the question. Like, it's, I don't know, for photographs. And then she was like, well, I just find it weird that you know, you're taking my picture. And if she was in the frame, I don't know if she was. I you could never pick her out if that was the case.
Right.
And so I said to her, oh, are you on a date with someone you shouldn't be? And she said, well, no, it's just weird that you'd take my picture. It's just four girls out in town and you take our picture. And I said, okay. And I said, listen, sweetie, that's how you talk down to people. You say, sweetie.
Yeah.
I say, listen, sweetie, if you don't want your picture taken, then walking around the streets of Europe in the summertime might be a bad idea.
Right.
And then she kind of sort of awkwardly smiled and just left. But she was legitimately upset. She thought I was taking her photo. Like, this was like, you. I can't believe she even saw me with the camera. It's that far away.
Right.
Not a long lens at all.
So she's got a paranoia sort of complex.
how would you ever leave the house?
Yeah.
Like, everybody has phones and their camera and their car keys, everything now.
Maybe she was famous.
For being kind of a whiner.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyways, if anybody approaches you about that, if you get it right up in someone's face and just snap it right in their mouth, yeah, okay. That's not cool. And I try not to do that. I try to be respectful of people. But if someone's in a crowd scene, too bad.
Yes, I agree.
It's basically, if they get in your face, tell them to go kick rocks.
Okay, or pound sand.
Pound sand. I used to say pound sand, but now I say kick rocks because it just sounds better. It's just more unique.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's it. That was
a great story. Great. Thanks for that.
Really awesome. You know what? So good. Tell it again, Alan. But this time, this week's photo challenge was a weird one.
Yes. Offered by you.
It was totally my fault. But I wanted to try to keep up our streak of tying the photo challenge in with the next episode.
Okay.
Because early on, when we started doing the show, the first few episodes, there was no photo challenge. That was something that was added later.
Right.
And then even then, it was often independent of the next week's episode. It took like a year for me to go, hey, maybe it should tie in.
Right. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad you did that.
Yeah. I don't know how you tied in with bags, though, so I just said shoot a bag.
Right. Well, I think that was a perfect tie-in.
When did you shoot yours?
I shot mine Tuesday night because I knew I wasn't going to have any time between Tuesday night and tonight, so I was not feeling well. I'm pretty sure, a fever and chills, and I actually got it together to take this photo. I only spent about 3 minutes, so I'm sure you can't tell by my picture, but this was done very quickly.
Well, I'm sure you can't tell by my picture. Okay.
Yeah. So all there's right. The lead-in.
Okay, Monet, tell us about your Team Canada bag.
Well, being from Canada, I tried to use a bag that was, you know, a most appropriate description of Canadian. I thought people would appreciate this both from Canada and from other parts of the world, but this is a hockey bag, a Team Canada hockey bag, no less. So this is actually not a full-size hockey bag. So this is what, to spoil it, I have all the kids' skates. So when we go public skating, I put everybody's skates in here and we go to the rink, but this isn't my actual hockey bag. Is in our storage and underneath too many things for me to try to dig out without pulling everything down. So I used the public skating bag, and I liked it because it's red and black and it's got the, you know, the Team Canada logo on it and stuff. So I threw it on the white background to dress it up a little bit. I thought we'd talked a little bit recently about white background, and so I thought that might make it more interesting. And I put two flashes, one more on the white background and one more on the bag, but also kind of aimed high to get the white background kind of blown out, and took the picture. But even to tie it into last week, one step further, I did it as a long exposure, just trying that out. So it's a 2 second exposure, I think 1.8 or 2 second exposure, and with the flashes going, just because I'd never really done much of that. So I wanted to try it. And I was actually, if I didn't feel ill, I was going to go one step further. And I was actually trying to create an effect where I was going to wave a green scarf around above it. And because of it being a long exposure, and this was something Dwayne had mentioned to me the other day, but he said, you know, if you wave a string or a scarf around above it as a long exposure, you can make it look like smoke. So I was trying to make it look like green kind of smog coming out of the bag, but I couldn't create the effect in my given state. I shut it down and just went with the plain kind of like magazine approach of a hockey bag.
I will buy one of those, please.
Yeah, I like the colors and stuff. Now, so there it is. Pretty simple.
Where it says Team Canada, it's all wrinkly. Did you wrinkle that on purpose?
I did a little bit. At first, I pulled it straight, and I'm like, I wanted to give it a bit more texture, so then I crinkled it up. I thought it looked better.
It does. Looks better.
And actually, I liked how the light come. I don't know if you can see it because this is kind of a downsized version that we're looking at. But the full scale image, like, you can actually see some of the color in the black fabric, like the light bouncing off of it. There's all sorts of neat colors in the fabric. So I actually liked the picture when I looked at it deeper. But I was pretty much just trying to get this one done. So I apologize for that.
Got her done. Well, yeah. I didn't. It's not like you had tons to work with. Hey, shoot a bag.
Yeah.
Great one.
The green smog was going to be a good effect, but I didn't pull it off.
Don't waste it on this one.
Yeah.
Use it on a good one. That's my that's what I would suggest. A good topic, I mean, a good challenge.
Yeah.
Okay, let's freight train through mine. And okay. I zigged when you, or maybe I zagged when you thought I was going to zig. I don't know. Were you expecting this?
No, I wasn't expecting this.
I had something else in mind, actually, that involved a whole lot more effort, and I decided, let's just check that. No, I really did. It just didn't work out. But then all of a sudden, last night, we had a big thunderstorm blew through, and which is a little more common here than it is in Vancouver. It doesn't happen that often, but... And it got me to thinking, hey, maybe I can, part of my challenge, I can give a little tip in there too.
Okay.
And this is my tip. Like oftentimes when I'm shooting with flashes and it's possible, I like to put one of my flashes outside of the room, like outside the house, and have it fire in through the windows.
Okay.
It creates a great light. You can create nice backgrounds. It's kind of like it's got a built-in gobo, which we'll talk about in a whole other episode, what a gobo is. It looks awesome. Like, in fact, I recommend that you start doing that. That's going to be a move that now that you're getting way more into off-camera flash, you're going to want to start putting one outside your kitchen window or your back, whatever window you can.
Okay.
Have it fire in. You get great effect. Now, but what happens if while you're shooting, it starts to rain?
That's bad.
That is bad. Simple fix is Ziploc bags. They are the greatest for lots of things. In this case, you just throw it over your flash. And that's it. That's all I did. And it keeps everything else, like everything else, doesn't, it doesn't matter if the rest of the camera gets wet, the rest of the flash set up, the stand, it's going to be fine. But your electronics are now covered.
Awesome.
And because I'm using a wireless radio trigger, it sees it no problem, and doesn't really have a problem going through the bag.
Okay, so a tip and a picture of a bag all in one.
Yeah. So what do you think quickly of the picture part?
I didn't know what you were getting at, but now I do.
Oh. Oh, so you thought it was sort of... what's the word I'm looking for?
Like, I thought you were just lighting up a bag.
No. No, no, no. Showing a tip. Yeah. I did this just some very specific things, though. I did make sure that the sky was dark.
Okay.
Which took a little doing, because the sky was actually a little bit lighter than that. I wanted to make it seem even more thunderstormy. And so I stopped down. It's probably like an F, I don't know, we'll call it an F5.6, 5.6.8 split, probably.
Okay.
At max shutter speed, 1/200th, 100 ISO, and then just fired the flash off. And so even angled it slightly so that we would get a little bit of lens flare, which you sort of see in the bottom middle of the picture there.
Yeah.
That's lens flare coming off the flash in the bag.
I'm really happy you mentioned that.
Yeah. There you go. I'll send you a full-size print that you can put on your wall. You put it next to my last week's challenge of the horrible gas station and just have a whole room dedicated to my awesomeness.
Okay, will do.
All right, that's this week's topic. Unfortunately, we blew all of our time on nonsense. No, let's talk about bags.
Right, bags.
I made a video about my bags. Did you watch it?
I have to say I watched it.
And what do you think? Be honest, because I don't like it.
Well, there's 4 minutes I'll never get back.
Is that really
true? No,
truth?
No, it's fine. You know, and to be honest, like when I did my research looking at buying a new bag, which we're going to talk about, I'm sure, shortly, once we get through some of this. No, I watched a lot of YouTube videos, and yours is much better than 98% of them. Most of them are, you know, look like they're filmed by a high school kid in their basement, and it's almost completely black, and they're basically just randomly talking about, you know, what they stick in their bag, to the point that, you know, I just want to see what the bag looks like, and they're horrible. So you did a pretty, I think, succinct job at going through a number of different bags, and, you know, I think you give accurate information. So
you know what my favorite part of the video is, of my own video?
What?
My raccoon eyes.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, just horrible raccoon
That's
eyes.
That's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah. So check it out just for that.
You should check it out just to see. Here's the story behind that. I swim every day, and the pool is outdoors.
Right.
And so thus, if you swim every single day, you're going to get goggle suntan. So what do you call it? Tan lines.
Right.
So I do look like a bit of a hayseed.
Yeah.
Apologies to all our hayseed listeners. I didn't mean that as a... they're not listening.
Yeah.
So yeah, I thought that was great. And I just, and in fact, I just gotten back from the pool. And as you can imagine, the chlorine just beats my skin up. And so I actually had some sort of a moisturizer on as well. So I thought later, wow, I look great.
Yeah. You look like a guy that's just been to the tanning bed. And then you put a whole bunch of, like, I don't know, that orange tanning, fake tanning lotion on afterwards. Oh,
I know. I'm just like one of those shiny guys named Mitch. And I have to hang around with, like, elderly women in Florida trying to steal their money. That's what I'm doing now.
Yeah. All right. So are we going to get to bags, or are you just going to keep talking?
I don't know. I want to tell some more tanning stories. So bags. You did the research on your bags. So where do we start?
I guess, okay, so in my research, basically you have to, I think, answer a few questions for yourself. First of all, you know, what kind of setup do you have now, and what kind of setup do you plan on having in the near or foreseeable future?
Because let's start with your first bag. What was your first bag?
My first bag was one similar to what you showed in the video. It was a low pro top load zoom, where basically I can get my digital SLR. At the time it was an XS, but it fits my new Canon T2i just fine, with essentially an 18-55mm lens on it. Or the Sigma 30mm fits just fine, and that's pretty much it. It's quick, it's easy access, but there's not a lot of space to put pretty much anything else in. You can slide maybe a few filters, there's a front pocket in, but if you really cram it in, you can get a flash in on top too. But yeah, it's pretty much the bare minimum, but it's convenient because, you know, it's quick access.
Right. That's what I had first. I started out way back when I was shooting film, I had a slightly larger top load zoom, TLZ is what they're called, and they have different sizes, like different lengths depending on what lenses you want to use. But that's the great starter bag. So if you're brand new starting out, all you have is your camera and your kit lens, I would consider taking a look at one of those.
And they're reasonably inexpensive too. I want to say, like, anywhere, depending on the length, they get more expensive the longer they get, but anywhere between, I want to say about 30, well, I'm talking in Canadian dollars, between like $35 and $50, something in that ballpark.
Probably worth the money too. I think you could probably throw your money away if you bought a cheap bag.
Yeah. The one thing though to look out for on those, and I guess it depends on the climate you live in, because they don't all have this, but with low pros line, they have the ones that have the little all-weather ones, where they actually have a pullout as part of the bag that's like a rain cover. Now my top load zoom doesn't have that, but the ones that have the AW, the all-weather for low pros, actually do have that. So they cost a little bit more, and they don't come in every size, but okay, you can get the all-weather version, which is super handy, and it just literally pulls out from the bottom and slips right over your bag, and now you're protected in case it rains.
You'd think Joe Seattle from Vancouver would have that.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it with my first one, but right. Definitely was a consideration when I was buying the new bag this time.
The I happen to love those. Now, what I meant to say, I think I was just treading water till I could figure out what the heck I was going to say.
Right.
Low Pro makes great bags. We're not sponsored by Low Pro. It just so happens that I actually just happen to have a bunch of Low Pros. I considered buying a different bag, and there's other kinds, but we'll just talk about what we have and extrapolate that information to the other manufacturers like Think Tank or whoever it is.
Yeah, and there's lots of choice out there. That's the one thing that I did basically come across as I started doing the research, is there's lots of comparables. The one thing I liked about Low Pro is a combination of good quality. They get great reviews. They're readily available, so pretty much every camera store carries it, and they're pretty reasonably priced. So, I mean, it's a good bang for your buck. talk when you're talking about pretty much whatever kind of bag you're looking at. So it's hard to find a better quality, cheaper bag out there, basically.
That's true. I agree. So I shot with that for quite some time, but then as what ends up happening, you start accumulating equipment.
Absolutely.
So what happens next?
Well, so then you have to decide, okay, you have more equipment. What are you going to carry it in? And you have to make a few choices. And for me, the choices came down to, okay, so you're going to get one of the sort of laptop style bags and carry it over your shoulder, which is fine if you're just, I guess, going to shoot at a friend's house and you're going to put all your gear down. But if you're planning to make day trips and carry your gear around, go on hikes, or in my case, go to Disneyland or go to, a fair or the zoo where you're walking around for 5-6 hours with this bag on, you have to combine, you know, the fact that you want to have something comfortable on your back or on your shoulder, with also the other factor being, you know, how accessible does your gear need to be? Are you going to have your camera out the whole time, or do you plan on putting it away lots? And for me, that's kind of, I think for everybody, that's where you kind of have to weigh your priorities and decide what's the most important factor. So I ended up going, and a lot of this was on your advice, and again, on a ton of research, but I ended up going with one of the Low Pro sling bags. So the one I got was the 202, because there's a 102, it basically go up in size. So it's a one shoulder bag, so it kind of slings around your shoulder. It's a really popular type of sling backpack style bag where it's just one strap, but it swivels around so that you can pull the camera out quickly. So you wear it on your back, and the weight's distributed pretty well. So as far as a comfort thing goes, like most of the people that have the bags will tell you that the backpack style, because the weight, and again, this is the physiotherapist in me talking, and I would completely support it, but the weight is distributed better off, obviously, through two straps over your back versus one. So they would probably be more comfortable to have the two strap. But the problem with the two strap ones is often you got to take the bag off to access your equipment. Now,
that was the advice that I gave you is I actually have another Low Pro bag for my video equipment.
Yeah.
My old digital video equipment that I don't really use much anymore. But I had the full backpack.
Right.
Which going from A to B and then B back to A, because, you know, it's a return trip, is great. It's fantastic for that. It's really handy for a lot of that stuff. But if you're going to be running around like you're saying, it's hard to access quickly.
And now just to on that point, Low Pro did actually try to come up with a solution for that, and they actually made a line of bags called the Flip Side. And
okay.
And it's a backpack style bag that goes over your shoulders, and it actually has a waist kind of belt, and it unbuckles, and it actually pivots around, and then it folds front, so you actually access all your equipment through the back of the bag. Mm-hmm. And their basically claim is, okay, number one, it's more secure, because if you're traveling somewhere and you think worried that someone's going to rip some of your expensive gear off your back, well, they can't actually access it through the back of your bag, so there is a built-in kind of security feature there. But mm-hmm. the downside of the ones that I was looking at for the sizes I want is they actually made a big blunder in that they didn't make them all weather. I think you have to go up to the biggest size before they actually offer an all weather one. So
I
would have probably gone that route had they had an all weather version. So again, in Vancouver, or for anyone in Seattle or this side of the world where it rains all the time, if I'm going to buy a bag that I'm going to use a lot, I want to make sure that I do have the waterproof option. So that was one of the things I'm pretty sure they'll include on their next year's version.
Because a lot of people seem to. How can they not?
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. So there is that flip side out there for those of you that don't live in rainy climates and who want a little bit of best of both worlds. But I will say, with my experience so far with the sling backpack, it's a good combination of pretty comfortable. Again, I'm sure the double strap would be better. Pretty comfortable, but great access to your equipment. And the other factor that I had is, having bought that new 70-200 lens, is I needed something that was going to be able to actually, I wanted to be able to have that 70-200 lens on my camera and still be able to quick access. So again, you start to get much more limited. It's only the bigger bags that you can actually put that in. So that sling, the Low Pro Sling 202, just barely fits it. Like, it's a perfect mm-hmm. fit for that kind of combination.
Yeah, if you'd gone to the bigger lens, or the 2.8 lens or whatever, you probably wouldn't be fitting in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it won't fit.
Yeah. So I also have the probably an earlier model of that sling bag, but the 200, which was confusing because I swore to you it was the 100.
Yes, and you and I almost went as far as to even buy one on Craigslist.
Yeah.
And then went to the store to just check it, and I was completely I knew you had to be out to lunch. Either that or the version, because you had the previous version, the 200 versus the 202, I guess the previous version of that same bag. Mm. And I thought, well, maybe the 100 was bigger than the 102. But the 102 clearly would not fit my setup, so I could not trust you. And it turns out you actually had the 200 and not the 100.
Rather than double check and tell you, I decided to go Huff Paint.
Yeah.
So,
but it worked out fine because I figured it all out in the end and got the proper bag.
I love that bag myself. I mean, I used it for quite some time until I got too much gear when I could no longer fit. Like there was a long time where I was basically jamming some equipment into every spare nook and cranny I could because I really love that bag.
Yeah.
I like to ride my bike a lot of places, and it comes in really handy for that. Because if you're going to travel light with only, you know, maybe two lenses and a body, you can still jam a sweatshirt in there somewhere. Like,
it's still it has a top pouch that you can put stuff. Yeah, like I've got a couple flashes up there. I've pretty much got all my gear stuffed into there.
Yep.
And that's two flashes, four lenses. You know, like I've got the white balance like card, and I've got, you know, like the filter set, and you could put extra, you know, batteries and memory cards, and you pretty much get everything. Some of those lens cleaning brushes. You got everything stuffed into one bag. Although now I have to say, carrying all that on one shoulder gets to be a bit heavy. So not that you want to be doing that.
No, it's not. That's what when you were talking about, you know, the weight, I found that when I'm actually shooting, I don't carry as much stuff. So I don't find the weight to be much of an issue.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it for what you're saying, carrying everything you own and the kitchen sink.
Yeah.
I do love the quick access to everything, and it's just a real compact bag. So a quick note about the top load Zoom. When you had it, did you use the shoulder strap or did you clip it to your belt?
I used the shoulder strap.
Now, it comes with like a belt loop thing, though, right?
Yeah, and you can buy different systems that those things attach onto.
Okay.
Yeah, they have like all sorts of fancy systems like that go over your shoulders or just belts, and they're all made with kind of a loop system so that they all more or less will fit on the belts.
Would you recommend putting it on your belt?
I haven't tried it, so tough for me to recommend. The design, like over the shoulder, seems to be the best if you're going to go that route, just because the weight would be distributed better than on your belt, especially if you have any issues with your back. I don't recommend strapping weight to your belt.
There you go. That's what I'm getting at, because I know because a friend of mine has had a lot of stuff strapped to his waist and to his belt, and he has back problems. You know Batman.
Yeah. I know Batman. But
Bruce Wayne, you know him, and he's always constantly in for physio.
Yeah. But coming from a background of someone who sees people in back pain all the time, I can tell you I see a ton of police officers and prison guards and anybody who wears a duty belt, they complain to no end about lower back pain. So this to me seems tailor-made for lower back pain. Strapping a whole bunch of weight right on your waistline is a bad idea. So don't do that.
Go with the shoulder strap.
Yes, definitely a better weight distribution.
Okay, so is that the extent of your bags? Is that where you are?
And I have the top load Zoom. I've got the shoulder sling pack, which is the new one. And then I have kind of like a laptop bag, which I can pretty much stuff all my gear in.
Right.
And then, I have a couple of long bags for my white background setup. And also just a bag that has my umbrellas and just where I carry like one of those quick light stands. So okay. I actually have two long kind of like pool, I don't know, I kind of liken it to like a pool cue bag or what I would imagine people would stuff pool cues in if they were transporting their pool gear. Billiards. I mean pool as in billiards.
Yes, billiards. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I had filled up my slingshot bag, I had to get something bigger. So I graduated to, again, it's a Low Pro. I don't know what the brand, the model number is. It's basically one of those big bags that you're talking about, like a laptop style bag, but much larger.
Yeah, yours is like twice as big as the laptop style bag I have.
Right. And so it's not a race, Adam.
Yes, I know that.
Yeah. And so that basically handles all my gear. Now I'm getting to the point where it's kind of on the edge. Like when I want to travel, if I need, when I fly back to Vancouver, I do get everything in there. I get all my lenses. I get a couple of bodies, batteries, and everything does jam in there, but it is tight. And it also gets right down to the, whatever the 10 kilogram weight is for carry-on luggage.
Right.
Because P.S., I don't check my bag. That's how you get rid of your camera, is by check it. Good news is you're getting a new camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad news is you're buying it. So there's that. So it's I'm right at the edge there now. Not as handy to carry around. Like if you're walking around shooting all day, like at different locations, it's not easy to just kind of put down, whip out, and be mobile. So there's the added threat to when you are shooting like that, you have to put your bag down. That's when stuff gets ripped off.
Right.
People can do the grab and run. On the other side, though, it does make a pretty good sandbag to hold down one of your light stands.
Okay.
So there's that. That's a good, the positive side. But the important thing is, and I think you'll probably agree with me, I wouldn't get rid of my old bags. As I graduate to the new bags, I didn't get rid of my slingshot.
Right.
Because I still end up using it. Like sometimes I'll think, you know, I have a small job where it's just, you know, I want one body and one flash, and that's it. That's the go-to bag.
Yeah, and I say the same thing with my top load zoom. If I just want my camera body with the 30mm, that's perfect. It's small and it's got a shoulder strap, and it's the minimalist design.
Yep. Now the one thing you talked about security with those bags with the backpacks.
Yeah.
The one thing I don't like about some of the bags is that they just scream out, "Hey, I have a camera in here."
Right.
I'm not a fan of that. Now there are some bags out there that are really super secret bags that they just, you would never know you had a camera, and those are the kind of ones I would probably look at if I was doing a ton of traveling, or even to Disneyland or something like that. You can let us know though how your experience goes.
Okay.
If you come back with your camera intact.
I'm also a very imposing figure, so people tend to not mess with me.
Right. The only other thing, though, is that you do stop to eat about 12 times a day. So you will be distracted by the snow cones, and
that's
off
true.
It goes. Actually, speaking of that, this is true. Whenever I go and do sit down, any camera bag that I have, and I go and sit down and have a snow cone, for instance...
Right.
I actually click my camera, the strap of my camera bag around my chair. Like I don't mind hanging my bag on the chair, but it will actually be wrapped around the chair once so that nobody can just do the quick walk by snatch.
Right.
So that's my tip for you.
Okay. Be super paranoid. Is that your tip?
No, don't be super paranoid, but just, you know, don't worry about it. If you put your camera bag down, like at Disneyland or something like that, you put your camera bag down, put your foot in one of the straps or something, just so that you could feel it if it gets snagged.
I think that's good advice. I was just giving you a hard time.
Yeah, well, you might get a new camera out of the deal.
I'll try not to.
Yeah, and on the flip side, if you're a thief, look for people who aren't paying attention to their bags.
Great advice.
Yeah. Don't, if you see someone with their foot in there, red flag.
Yeah, don't go near them.
Move on. Steal you're someone
inviting,
else's stuff.
Yeah, you're inviting conflict.
Yeah, exactly. So, lastly, my last camera bag, I think I've talked about on the show before, is my simple Canvas CBC radio recording bag.
Right, shameless promotion.
For a company I don't work for.
we're just, right now, CBC is all over sponsoring us.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping it'd be low pro after all the mouthing off we did.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Here we are.
The reason I like my simple bag is that it does not look at all like a camera bag. It just looks like kind of like a beige purse.
A beige man purse.
I left the man part out on purpose because even then. So I basically throw my 40D with the 30 mil lens in there. Don't worry about padding. It's got no padding. I'm just careful. Not too careful. Not like I'm not, you know, too ginger with it, but it, like that's when you treat something gingerly, right? That's a word.
Right. Sure.
Okay. I wasn't sure for a second.
Don't get hung up on it.
No, you can throw a sweatshirt in there and boom, you're off. And so you can walk around unsuspiciously. Is that a word?
That's not a word.
That's how we know we're at the end of the show when we can't even know if they're words or not.
We make up words.
So at the end of the day, what's the takeaway on how to buy a bag?
I think there's lots of choice, so decide where your priorities are, and there's probably a bag just for you, but you got to figure out exactly what you need, how much space you need, whether it's comfort or quick access that you need, whether you need all weather or it doesn't matter, and then, you know, there's a bag there.
And most importantly, how much equipment are you going to accumulate between now and the next 2 years?
Absolutely, yeah.
So try to look forward. I think you and I had that discussion a long time ago. Said, look forward. You're gonna buy another lens at some point.
Probably. You know? I think I'm good for a little while now. That's what my wife says.
You're good now. I can't see you having any void now. But when you were considering bags and stuff like that, I think you still had one more in you, and you thought ahead, which is good.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's bags. Any questions? Forward them over to bags@adamschwartz.com. And Adam will sort that out.
Yeah, I'll be sure to sort it out.
Yeah. So next week's challenge, Adam.
You have one.
I got one. I got a good one this time.
You're a challenge giving machine.
It's more so because you're a slacker.
Okay, I won't dispute that.
The last time I said, "Hey, do you have a challenge?" Your response was, "Huh? What? What, Lorraine?" Yeah.
Sorry, missed that.
Uh-huh. You are my density. This week's is a good challenge.
Okay.
Make a good photo.
Don't I do that every week?
Okay.
Is there any more parameters than that?
No. Okay. Be good.
Okay, be good.
Get out there and make it good, Adam.
Or I'll do that.
How many other ways can I say make it good?
Not many.
That's it. That's it. And you know what? That's actually going to tie in to next week's show.
Do we get to find out what the next week's show is?
Do you want to?
Sure.
We're gonna figure out how to shoot pictures.
Haven't we been doing that?
Yeah, I just sort of thought of something and we're good now. So I'm going to tie it all together.
Okay, good photo. I'm going to do it.
So that's it. We're going to talk about making good photos. Where can people find the zoo pictures, your sad lion?
SchwartzChronicles.com.
Do you ever think the lion, like, what's the lion thinking when you're taking the pictures? Does he ever think, hey, what are you looking at?
Lion was sleeping.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I took a picture of the sleeping lion.
Sleeping lion.
Yeah.
Isn't that a song? That was a song from the 50s.
In the jungle, the sleeping lion?
The lion sleeps tonight, yeah.
He does, yeah.
Great.
All right.
Didn't need
a name, so. Where can people see your stuff?
As always, alanattridge.com and the two of us at Two Hosers. And on Two Hosers, you can find our Twitter and Flickr.
Great.
Google Plus. And remember, please remember, keep up the campaign. We're doing well with the Ace Broadcasting Network and the Adam Carolla Show. We actually have had listeners of our show email us to say they've emailed him and they now listen to his show. They had not heard of Adam Carolla Show. They now listen to it and love it because of us.
The best part is we're never getting on his network, but we've gotten him more listeners.
Yes.
He needed our push, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, that was the problem. Yeah, not enough Two Hosers endorsement. We got that. We're good now. No, he has the Guinness record for most downloads, so it's he doesn't need us. That's not the point.
Is Guinness tracking that?
He's actually in the book. I'm not joking.
Really?
Yeah. Guinness, what do they just do? Longest eyelids? I mean, come on. They do real stuff.
Okay. My question is, does anyone still buy the Guinness book?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Do you remember when that was I think I got one for Christmas like every second year.
It was a big deal in our day, but I don't think I don't think it still is. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I don't want to offend any of our Guinness listeners.
Of all the Guinness company, though, the book isn't their best product.
What is their best product?
Beer.
Is it the same people?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. There you go. I was thinking that in my head. I wonder, is it the same people? But now you just told me. That's great.
That's them. It's in the book. Best beer.
Really?
I don't know. I'm sure that's sort of a conflict. But all right, we're going to change this episode title to Derailed.
Okay, let's shut it down. How do we shut this down, Alan?
I'll remind everybody yet again, go and tweet Adam Carolla, tell him to listen to the Two Hosers and put us on the network. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.